In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Today we celebrate a Sunday long ago when icons were brought back to the churches and also into the homes of the Christian faithful. It's a Sunday that happened long ago in the year 842, and it was the end of a very fierce battle between those who loved icons and then those who were on the other side, those who believed that icons were idols, false idols. There were those who rejected icons, and these are the ones that we call iconoclasts. An iconoclast is someone who breaks icons. That's what that word means. They break icons. And this is, in fact, what they did historically. They would move into churches as a mob, and they would take down and shatter the holy images of Christ and the saints. 1,200 years ago, on this Sunday in 842, the icons were welcomed back into the churches, back into the cathedrals, back into the homes of the faithful once and for all. But iconoclasm is not dead. Iconoclasm is not even dead inside the church. In fact, there are two kinds of iconoclasm still very much alive today. Two kinds that are very easy for you and for me to fall into if we are not careful. Imagine for a moment our typical way of looking at an icon and the experience that we have when we do so. We have many in our church. You can just look around and do this for yourself. How would you describe the experience? Often we say something like the following, very basically, I like that icon. I like it. Or I don't like the icon. This icon speaks to me. Or we might say, I like its style. It moves me. Or we might say, this icon doesn't look right. It may be fine for some, but that's not what I prefer. Or maybe we say, such an icon comforts me. Such an icon has personal and sentimental value for me. We often speak of iconography in these ways. This is the language of personal taste. It is a version of the old saying that beauty is in the eye of the beholder. And if this is the way that we feel, if these are our responses, if we look at an icon and think that we are the one who sees and that we are the one who evaluates, then we are iconoclasts still. We are the destroyers of icons. We are the heretics who take down and shatter the images of Christ and his saints. It is wrong to think of icons as sacred art. Iconography is not art in the way that we normally use that term. Art is something created to provoke a response. It is created to be seen or to be heard. Art is something we look at, and it is something that we observe. But the truth of the matter is that we do not look at icons. It is the case, rather, and always, that the icon looks at us. This is the huge difference that is so very easy to forget. It is the difference between the defenders of icons and those who destroy icons. Each and every one of them, holy icons, they are invitations. They are invitations to enter into the resurrected life of Jesus Christ. They invite us into a relationship with our Savior. When you look at an icon, it's not important whether you feel good on the inside or feel poorly on the inside. An icon may be beautiful in an artistic sense, but that is not the purpose of icons. To understand the church's teaching about icons, hear this morning the story of the Apostle Nathanael. Very powerful story. This morning, Philip says to his friend Nathanael, "My brother, we have found the one written of by Moses and by the prophets. His name is Jesus of Nazareth." But Nathanael, the skeptic, has his doubts. "Pish posh, Philip, can anything really good come out of Nazareth?" And in response, Philip says with excitement in his voice, "Come and see, Nathanael, come and see." And so there goes Nathaniel. Nathaniel, the art critic. He's off to look at this Jesus. He's off to figure things out. He's off to make his judgment. Is this Jesus good and true and beautiful? Or is he bad and false and ugly? Does he agree with my tastes? Do I like his style? But when he arrives and he meets Jesus, Nathaniel is blown away. He's blown away. There is a marvelous reversal. He decides to go and figure out this Jesus, but he realizes that it is Jesus who has figured him out. Nathaniel is astonished that this total stranger seems to know him in such a deep and intimate and personal way. Nathaniel, the skeptic, sees the face of Jesus, and he immediately recognizes that it is not so much Nathaniel that sees Jesus, but that Jesus sees him. I mean, really and truly sees him. Sees deeply into his soul with warmth and love and care, as if he were an open book for Jesus to just simply read. And at that moment, Nathaniel's converted. He believes. Nathaniel realizes that no one knows him any better than this traveling teacher he has only just met. And from his mouth escapes wonderment and joy. With astonishment, Nathaniel asks out loud, "Jesus, how is it that you know me? How is it, Lord, that you know me?" Earlier, when Nathaniel questions Philip about Jesus, earlier when Nathaniel says, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said, "Come and see." But what Philip really means, what he really says to Nathaniel is, "Come and be seen. Come and be seen. Come and let this Jesus of Nazareth, let him rest his eyes on you. Come and be captured by his gaze. Come and let his loving eyes draw you in, and let his loving eyes change your life. Come and be seen by the Lord of glory. Come and be seen by the creator of heaven and earth. Come and be seen by your bridegroom. Your knees will tremble, Nathaniel, just a little bit. Lord, how is it that you know me?" This is Nathaniel's question. And when we stand before an icon, Nathaniel's question becomes our question. How is it, Lord, that you know me? By our church's most ancient traditions, icons are painted in ways to draw us in. It is impossible to stand outside of an icon and to look at it as if you were looking at it across some great distance. Icons reverse that. They bring us in. The destroyer of icons is someone who thinks that he or she can stand outside the icon and pass judgment. But the true defender and lover of icons is someone who realizes that every time we look at an icon, we fall into it. In every icon, every one, we are captured by the loving gaze of Jesus Christ. We are known by him, just as Nathaniel was known when he is greeted by Jesus. "Lord, how is it that you know me? I came to look at you, but it is you who now looks at me. I came to see, but I am the one who is seen and loved and healed and reconciled and forgiven. Truly, you are the Son of God." This is one kind of iconoclasm in the church. But there is a second kind, and it is worse. It is more vicious and deadly. What is true of icons made of wood and paint and gold is also true of icons made of bone and flesh and blood. We know from the creation story, the very beginning of the Bible, that God takes very great care on the sixth day when he chooses to create human beings, when he chooses to create you and me. God says on the sixth day, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness." And the word is right there in the first chapter of Scripture, icon. Icon. It means image. Let us make man our icon. So God created man in his own image, in the image of God, as an icon of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. You and I, we're icons. The Bible says it. We bear the image and likeness of the living God. Each human being is an icon of the divine life of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And the human icon is just like the icon of wood and paint. Every icon of wood and paint invites us into a relationship with Christ, and so does every human icon. And just like I can break a wooden icon, I can break a human icon too. When I stand above a wooden icon and say, I like, this appeals to me, or this is ugly and not my style, when I do that, I'm an iconoclast. I break the wooden icon with my mind and with my heart. Human beings, same thing, same thing. When I stand apart from a human being, when I judge him or her, when a human being to me is an object or an obstacle or an annoyance, when I classify him or her as someone I like or dislike, as someone who is ugly or maybe not my style, when I do this, I'm an iconoclast. I break the human icon with my mind and with my heart. I destroy the image of Christ set before me. Brothers and sisters, Christ does not call us to see. He calls us to be seen. He does not call us to see him. He calls us to be seen by him, to submit to his gaze. And an icon is nothing more than the eyes of Christ himself. That's what an icon is. Through an icon, Christ gazes onto this world, and he gazes into our souls. And he does this through icons of wood and paint, just like in this church building. And he does this through icons of flesh and blood too. Each person we meet, each person, each family member, each office worker, each man and woman and young person and child on the street, each and every human being is a walking, talking, breathing, living invitation. Rich or poor, Muslim or Christian, wise or foolish, holy or sinful, each human being is an icon through which Christ calls us. Each human icon invites us into a relationship based on love and marked by the joy of the kingdom. And either we accept the invitation or we break it. These days of Great Lent are given to us that we might accept the invitation and not break it. During these days of the Great Fast, come and be seen by the Lord. Come into his churches where we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. Come and be seen by Christ through his saints and angels. Come to confession and understand that no one knows you better, no one loves you more than the Lord. Fall down like Nathanael in amazement and wonder and say, how is it, Lord, that you know me? In this season of repentance, go to your homes, go to your offices and neighborhood streets and be seen by the Lord. You do not need to find him. He will find you. You do not need to see Christ in others. My neighbor is already an icon of the living God. The image of Christ in him is waiting to see me. Go to Market Basket, go to Starbucks, to the soup factory or soup kitchen, surrounded by newborns or nursing homes. It does not matter. Go into the world. This Great Lent, go into the world and allow the eyes of Christ to see and to know you all through the people that you meet. Go and accept the invitation. Go and love the icons, venerate and kiss them. Go and do not break them. Amen.